Today's Bible reading is from chapter 14 of John's Gospel. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in also me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, the peace of the Lord be with you. It's funny how we copy others, isn't it? We copy the fashions from the latest trend. We copy the habits of significant others. We copy the conduct of the world around us. We copy behavior and hairstyles and fashion trends of those A-list around us. We copy the behaviors of a particular genre of people we associate with. We copy a whole host of things in our lives, and it's almost like we play a grown-up version of Simon Says, isn't it? Someone else says it, and we do it. Sometimes we make wise choices in those in whom we copy. Sometimes not so wise. And I wonder if some of us might look back on these days now from 20 or 30 years' time and wonder, why did we copy that? What were we doing? Although I did hear a remark a little while ago from an author who said, I just sacked my two ghostwriters, copy and paste. Did you get that one? I thought that was a good one. Our gathering today finds us winding up in the last of our Emulate series. And so far we've talked about several different things when we emulate Jesus. So we emulate Jesus in service, in obedience, in endurance, in suffering, and last week Shane brought to us emulating Jesus in love. This is who we should copy, isn't it? It's Jesus who we should copy. It's Jesus who is our ultimate example of life, of faith, and of significance in life. It's the pages in his book that we should be taking. It's him whom we should take our cues from. It's the life he modeled we should be seriously trying to pattern our lives on. And we're fooling ourselves if we think we can find a better place to find the example of life, a life to live well. I trust that the topics for you over the last 5 weeks have been helpful and have stimulated some deeper reaction or deeper reflection on Jesus' life and your life in that as well. Can I encourage you to keep that word emulate, rolling around the back of your head as you hear about Jesus? Keep asking yourself, how can I be an authentic follower of Jesus today? How do I emulate this Jesus in my life, in where I live, in where I work? Keep asking yourself, what is it like for me to be authentic? Authentic in the way I live out my Christian calling. Authentic doesn't mean perfect, doesn't mean that we have it all together, but rather open to hearing the word of God's Spirit leading us, guiding us, calling us into a different place, moving us out of our comfort zone into God's zone. Today I raise with you probably one of the hardest topics in our series, emulating Jesus in truth. Little five-letter word that comes with a whole host of things behind it. Not so much baggage, but significant meaning as it brings to us a different understanding of who Jesus is. I don't know if you ever thought much about that word truth. I don't know if you ever pondered or rolled it around in your head for a while, but it's a biggie. It holds so much content for us. Many of us resonate with Pontius Pilate when he asked Jesus in John 18, right at the very end of John's Gospel, close to the end of John's Gospel, when he says to Jesus, "What is truth?" That statement is actually the culmination of a whole series of truth statements that we find in John's Gospel. And the answer for Pontius Pilate is standing right in front of him in the person of Jesus. You might agree with me that there is a distinct lack of truth in our present era. Truth seems to have gone missing from much of our reporting, our fact-finding, and our narratives. All of us would have a healthy cynicism over when it comes to believing things we read or hear in the news or things we see online, of course. A recent study from Time magazine found that people who told the truth are more likely to be healthy and suffer less from depression and anxiety. Isn't that interesting? I always thought I could never lie because I don't have a good enough memory. So being truthful is much more helpful. Truth, though, it seems, is a common and often victim of our culture. The advancement of political spin, advertising companies that use truth subjectively, have ushered us into a new world of untruth. We live with untruth now 24/7. Jesus, though, in contrast to that, is the master of all truth. And as such, he stands against our culture with a significant, and I must say, radical alternative to how we could be. In his day, he was a thorn in the side of all those political and religious leaders for his truth-telling. And today, if we stop to listen to him and hear his words in the context that they were meant, we too would find his truth-telling uncomfortable. And I'd hazard a guess, not altogether wanted. We don't want to hear the truth about our lives. The word truth in the New Testament is found 109 times, used particularly by one writer. The disciple John seems to be captivated by the word truth, and as you can see, culminated in that moment when Jesus was before Pontius Pilate. The word truth is used in the Gospel of John and the Johannine Epistles, which is 1, 2, and 3 John, 45 different times. So almost half of the usage in the New Testament is in John's Gospel. And the word truth is indeed complicated. It draws from the Old Testament, and when you begin to unpack its meaning, it comes with a whole host of ideas, different concepts, different things that feed into it. For instance, there is truth in contrast to falseness, truthful witness, the truth of the reality of a situation, and many other deviations of that one word. And the topic is really broad. When we talk about truth in the New Testament, we could be for hours working through what this means for us. So let me focus in on two areas, and then I'll make a point why it's important for us. Point one, Jesus spoke the truth. A really simple, straightforward thing. Jesus spoke the truth. A cursory understanding of Jesus is all that you needed to hear that he was a truth teller, and you could hear words of truth from him. He didn't beat around the bush, but he spoke plainly as to God's mind on significant matters. His teachings were all about truth. This is how God intends it to be, is his theme over and over again. All that in contrast to the present reality in front of him. So he confronts it and he speaks God's truth into it. He's quick to call out the systems and the modes of religion that were not what God had in his original design. And so he spoke the truth into dysfunctional practices of the day. He told the truth of how God wanted people to live and how God wanted people to behave. He still does. And I wonder how easy it was for you to be in that drama this morning and wonder what it'd be like for God to use his chisel on you. He told religious people they were far from God, so much so they were like whitewashed tombs, worthy of nothing. He told them that they had missed the boat in terms of understanding how God is. He told prostitutes and tax collectors, the undesirables of the day, that he had come for them, that God listens to them. He told those who were profiting from religious pilgrims that they had no idea how far they were distorting God's intent, God's plan. So his truth included upturning tables and causing a huge ruckus in a temple precinct. He told a woman caught in adultery that her sins were forgiven. He told the crowds, it's what goes on in your heart that matters. And even a lustful look that's harbored in your heart is like the act. And we could go on and on. Jesus told the truth. But that's only a small part of the truth as we see coming to us from the New Testament. My second point requires a great amount of thought. You see, Jesus is the truth. He doesn't just convey it. He doesn't just say it. He is it. This is the biggest thing we need to grapple with to understand when we talk about the truth and emulating the truth. So stay with me as we wrestle with this concept. Our Bible reading from this morning shows the great mystery, and it comes from John 14, verse 5 and verse 6. And it is indeed a mystery as we begin to understand it. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Verse 6, and Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What this tells us is that Jesus is the authoritative representative of God, the revealer of God. Jesus is the one we look to for all things truthful. The essence of truth is found in Jesus. But even more than that, he embodies what truth is. We find truth in him. He lives God's truth. And if you want access to truth, then you have to do it through Jesus. One commentator I read says this: all truth is God's truth. All life is God's life. But God's truth and God's life are incarnate in Jesus. Another scholar, German scholar, says this: he, Christ, is the way in such a manner as to be at the same time the goal. One does not come to him to ask about the truth. One comes to him as the truth. Jesus is the goal of humanity's search. Is it the Lord calling me? I need to restate, so let me say that again. Let me put it in this way. Jesus does not have the truth as some external source. The truth for Jesus is not something out there. It's not some concept or some idea. He doesn't have a pot of truth to go, would you like a little bit of truth this morning or a little bit here, there? Jesus is the truth, fully, the fully revealed truth of God. I know it's sort of like, it's really hard to get your mind around that when we think of truth as an external thing from us. Yet we see it personified, bodified, is that a word? Made up in Jesus. He is the whole truth of God. So when we talk about truth, we say Jesus is the truth. The bottom line is simply this: if you want to know the truth, if you want to live in truth, then you have to be implanted in Jesus. That's what the New Testament is telling us, that Jesus is the truth. So my friends, truth in a Christian sense is not a concept floating out there in outer space, not something to be objectified, but it's always found in the life of Jesus. He is the truth. Truth is found in relationship with Jesus. And with him being the embodiment of truth, it is always relational. When you commit your life to Jesus, Savior and Lord, you are signing up for God as the ultimate source of truth, the holder of truth. We don't search for truth as followers of Jesus. We look to him. We don't find it somewhere else apart from him. He holds it. All our hopes, all our dreams, all our truth is found in him. So, out of all this complicated stuff, this truth that lives in a person, what does this mean for us? When we think of emulating Jesus in truth, we think that maybe we should be truth tellers. And there's some merit in that. We should be truthful people. We should always be found telling the truth. Absolutely. The Bible's really clear. There should be no lies found on our lips. We should be honest and truthful all the time. And if we don't, if we're not like that, and if we can tell ourselves the truth about not telling ourselves the truth, then we should allow the master with his chisel to work on us. And we should say, God, do your work in me, and chisel away those things that are untruthful. But there are great dangers in that we're truth tellers, and many have fallen for this trap. Some public tellings of truth have been unhelpful, and many have been actually ungodly and hurtful. But there's more here than just telling the truth. What we are being pointed towards is the source of truth. Our role is that we angle our lives so that we are reflecting what it is to live in a relationship with the source of all truth. We live knowing there is ultimate truth, that our lives are governed by Jesus' way. And herein lies the problem. In a world of religious pluralism, anyone making exclusive truth claims always finds opposition. It's not popular to say that there is one way over all the others. Our world doesn't like to operate like that, but yet this is exactly what Jesus is saying to us. In him is the way, the truth, and the life. In him. And here is the thing. Truth-telling is actually really attractive. In this world of spin, in this world of half-truth, when you see the real thing, it's refreshing. It's got a genuineness about it. It resonates with us because we can sense there's something real about it. And we can quickly resonate with it. If we emulate the Jesus way, if we shine light on just how truthful Jesus is, then we cut through the mistruths of this world and we allow others to see the beauty of God, the wonder of God, the wonder of his work amongst us. Therefore, we become not just truth tellers, but truth bearers as we emulate the life of Jesus, as his life works its way into us. There's a reason why in Ephesians we have the armor of God and we have the belt of truth around us. That's how we're supposed to be and to act. In essence, truth is God's reality. This is why Jesus was showing us a picture of who God is, so that we could experience the truth. Our role, our emulation in all of this, is to be like John the Baptist, who bore witness to the truth. We point others towards the truth as revealed in Jesus. You know, one day, when this world is done, when the great curtains are rolled back, when all of us see the truth, we will see that God is in charge, that his ways are right, that we will see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The truth will be plain. But up until that time, until the full and final revelation of God, all those who claim his name give witness to Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And for us, well, to know the truth, like it says in John chapter 8, to know the truth will set us free.